case we left off last week, we were really focusing on the somewhat difficult comment of Rashi in Maseches Yevamos Daf Nun Beis. Rashi explained that the reason why our Gemara condition says that if you try to be Mekadesh Yevama with Kesef or Shtar, the reason why it doesn't work is because she's an heir to you, because she's still your brother's wife. So, therefore, in condition tough to be Araya. So we were bothered with the question, is she still your brother's wife? Your brother died already, and she already fell for Zika, she already fell for Yibum. So doesn't at that moment, the time of Misa, doesn't the Isra of Arias fall off? So we said that clearly from Rashi, that's not the case. We appear from Rashi that nothing really changes until the moment of Yibum proper. So Kozman, that she's between the death of the husband and the actual mitzvah of Yibum, she's still considered to be an heir of you, and therefore Kedushin not Tovset. So that was a very problematic assumption, Rashi, because there were two Gemaras that seemed to contradict that. One Gemara was, where the Gemara spoke about, if a katan goes ahead and tries to do Yibum, so he doesn't really complete the mitzvah of Yibum, a katan doesn't have the ability to get married to the woman, even derech Yibum, but we let him remain married to her. We let them live together until he becomes Rav Mitzvah, and then they just do the mitzvah of Yibum. So one of the questions that we asked last week was, if Rashi is correct, that the Isser of Eishes Ach is still in full force until the mitzvah's Yibum knocks it off, the mitzvah's Yibum didn't take place yet. That was question number one. Question number two was, the Gemara says that according to where we follow Rish Lakish, that if you do Yibum, you try to do Yibum with a woman who's pregnant, so that doesn't take effect. That doesn't count. It's not considered to be a Yibum, not considered to be a Chalitza. But if you did it, and then in the end she miscarries, no problem. It says, not the end of the world. You didn't really do anything wrong. So we asked the question, you didn't do anything wrong. If there was no mitzvah of Yibum yet, so then you did everything wrong. You violated Nisr of Kares. So those are the two Gemaras that seem to present to us that the Isr of Kares, the Isr of Shazach, really ends at the time of Misa. As soon as
all participants are muted and they can unmute themselves.
As soon as the Yavam dies, so then the Isra Shazach falls by the wayside. So last week we spent a lot of time talking about Rabbi Chanan's pshat. Now we're going to move on to the second pshat. I think we just barely touched on it last week. The Imre Moshe, I don't think we went over the Imre, I think we just mentioned the Imre Moshe, that we were about to begin his pshat. So the Imre Moshe, Shiva and Brisk, before the war, so the Imre Moshe suggests, though, that we misunderstood both of those in the halachas. Not that we misunderstood Rashi. Rashi we understood perfectly, says the Imre Moshe. Rashi said what he meant, and meant what he said, that Isser of Eish Hazach does not disappear until the mitzvah's Yibum takes place. But says the Imre Moshe, the mitzvah's Yibum did take place in both of those cases. Both in the case of a katan, as well in the case of the pregnant woman. How can you say that? How can you say the mitzvah's Yibum took place in the case of the katan? The Gemara is beferish that let's say the katan at the age of 10 years old, he would be boil his sister-in-law, he would boil the Yavama, and then before the mitzvah they decide they don't want to remain married. So you have to go to mitzvah, you have to give a chalitza. It's not, they're not considered to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum yet. It's not true. So says the Ramosha, no, it is true. That Midda Araisa, the Yibum took effect at the age of 9 years old. The fact that he has to give a chalitz, that's Chumas Midda Rabbanu, but Midda Araisa, the Yibum took effect. How did the Ramosha know that that's the case? That's what we just started to learn the Gemara, the sixth of the Mar Makamos, and the Daf Yotesa Kedush. Let's go back to that Gemara. The Gemara quoted a Braisa, Toshma Ish, Prat leKatan, Asher Yinov Eshesish, Prat leEshes Katan. The Gemara said you could have a situation of an Eshes Katan. There's a concept called an Eshes Katan. Someone could be married to a Katan, and even though she's married to the Katan, if somebody's Mezana with her, there's no Chi of Misa. So the Gemara was working really hard to try to find the case. What's the case with Eshes Katan? How could a Katan get married? A Katan doesn't have Das, he can't be Mekadesh and Isha. So the Gemara concludes, Amar Rav Ashi, Hacha b'yavim en teisha shanav yamechon, haba yivim tovaskinan. That we're dealing with a 9-year-old boy who does Yibum. To be derais to chazilei, he can do Yibum, because b'yaso b'ya. Mal d'teima, kevin to be derais to chazilei b'yaso b'ya. I might think that since Minatorah, she's fallen to him for Yibum, and Minatorah, he can create b'ya. Haba lebis chaybesh ish. So therefore, if he goes ahead and is miyavimar, I might think that they're fully married and someone else is mezan with her, it's chayef eishes ish, kamash balon, that the subsequent person is not chayef eishes ish. So one could raise a question, how do you repshat in the maskara se gemara? The gemara da hava mina, that a 9-year-old boy who's quote unquote miyabin, his sister-in-law, she becomes an eishes ish. That was the hava mina of the gemara. And the gemara concludes she's not an eishes ish. Kamash balon, ish probably ishes kater. So one could raise the question: what's the pshat in the kamash balon? Is the pshat in the kamash balon that you thought that the 9-year-old could create yibum? Guess what? You were wrong. The kamash balon is that a 9-year-old can create yibum. Kamash balon, there's no ishes for kater, no such thing, nothing. Yibum of a kater is nothing min haTorah. Do I say no? The kamash balon is that you are right, that a 9-year-old can create yibum, and a 9-year-old does fulfill the mitzvah of yibum, and it is considered to be a valid yibum, but there's a quirk, there's almost a yaitzim and a kalan, an exception to the rule, that ein ishes the katan, that a 9-year-old can create the status of ishes ish to the extent of somebody being chayav nisa for being baal, his quote-unquote wife. So is the mitzvah's yibum fulfilled? Yes, the mitzvah's yibum is fulfilled. Is she a full-fledged ashes ish vis-a-vis lo sidof? No. That's the kamash balon of the Gemara. Says the Ibn Moshe, if that's the pshat in the kamash balon of the Gemara, that the yibum was valid, even the 9-year-old could create yibum, then we understand Rashi, back in Yevamos Daf Nun Beis. Rashi in Yevamos Daf Nun Beis told us that when you have somebody falls for yibum to an adult, the regular case of yibum, so she's still considered to be eishes achiv. Why is she eishes achiv? Because the mitzvah didn't take place yet. What's mata the isser of erva is not the mitzvah sabal, but rather it's the mitzvah's yibum. So we ask the kasha, if it's the mitzvah's yibum that's mata, how can we ever let a katan be together with her? Because isn't there no mitzvah's yibum? So says the Ibn Moshe, wrong. No, you're wrong. It's not true. There is a mitzvah's yibum. Mitzvah's yibum is fulfilled with a 9-year-old boy. But the Gemara says, probably Eishes Katan, says the Ibn Moshe. That means that she's not an Eishes Ish. She does become his wife vis-a-vis Lo Sinof. But was yibum fulfilled? Of course yibum was fulfilled. So Al-Derech Teretzeh, says the Ibn Moshe, that's the same story when it comes to a Muberes. When you have a Yavama who is pregnant, so we said, yibum Muberes is Lav Shmabia, it's a nothing, it's a zero. So says the Ibn Moshe, you have to analyze. What is it? It's a zero. Zero doesn't mean zero. Zero means that Bias Muberes can create the status of she becoming your wife. The Torah says that the chalos of Yibum can take effect with someone who's a Muberes. Is the mitzvah's Yibum fulfilled? Why not? He's a Yom, she's a Yibum. They had a Maisabiyah together. Sure. So they were the mitzvah's Yibum. It's Mashal Amar Davidoma. It's like the case of the Katan. You could have a situation, says the Moshe, where the mitzvah's Yibum can be fulfilled, but the subsequent ishus that's usually created with yibum is put on hold. It's put on hold until the boy turns bar mitzvah. It's put on hold until she's no longer pregnant. You can have a mitzvah yibum without a chalais yibum. So you can't get more bris than that. A mitzvah yibum without a chalais yibum. So comes Yom Moshe and says, if a Rashi has become Yom Shalom, the Rashi said that kol zman that the mitzvah yibum hasn't been fulfilled, she's an eishes ach. You're right, 100% she's an eishes ach, and therefore in condition tov sin. So when all the dust settles, putting together what we spoke about last week, what we spoke about this week, we have this difficult Rashi, apparently difficult Rashi, because Rashi says that the reason why there's no kes for shtar for Yavama is because she's an Eish Yisach. Rashi says that's we have to understand why should that be so. We have two Gemaras that pointed in the direction that the Isser Eish Yisach disappears at the time of the Misa, the Gemara about the Katan and the Gemara about the Muberes. So we had Rabbi Chanan's pshat last week, and now we have the Mermosha's pshat this week. But all the dust settled, Rashi said something. Rashi definitely said that the full-fledged Isser of Eish Yisach is still pretty much around. There's something still around, but the Isser Eish Yisach, the Shem Eish Yisach, however you want to slice it, there's something still there until the moment of truth, until the moment of the Yibum is fulfilled.
You can have Masa Yibum, which is Bia. I don't understand how you can have Mitzvah Yibum without Ishas. The purpose of the mitzvah is that they should be married.
So that's exactly what we're saying, that the mitzvah's yibum is still fulfilled because at the end of the day, he's over 9 years old. At the end of the day, he's a man, she's a woman, she's a kuka. So the mitzvah's yibum was fulfilled. But all the subsequent halachas of ishos are still on hold. That we thought that those two go hand in hand. It's not true. You can have one without the other. And a katan is a perfect example of having one without the other. And now the Ramosha is extending that. And Muberes is also a perfect example.
And they can continue living together without issues.
Right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Very strange, no?
That's right. Right.
Does the Kutton have at that point all of the chiyuvim that he has in the ksuv that his brother has?
Those are the rabbanans. Those are the rabbanans. They're not going to affect this. This
halacha. But does it transfer at that point, the time of the kiddushin, the time of?
I don't know. It's sister Torah. I don't know what that happens. I'm having enough trouble learning yivamos. I can't even be into stash tzitzis yet. So they need minat Torah. They wouldn't right minat Torah. They wouldn't really need to get right. It's a mother thing. It's a very mother thing. Right. It's a very brisket thing. Right. Anyway, so putting all this back, we have to go back to the drawing board, back to our fundamental question. Putting aside the different shot in Rashi, we're still going back to a fundamental question about Yibum. What is the moment? What is the moment of truth where a woman's status is transformed from being an erva to becoming absolutely permissible? Is it the moment of the Zika, when the husband dies, or is it the moment of the Mitzvah Yibum? So Rashi says something about it, we're not quite sure what he said, but let's see ourselves. Let's see, are there any other Gemaras that will shed some light on this fundamental question, which ultimately touches on Kedushat Avdala, and ultimately leads us back to, why is it that you can't have Kesef Shtar with the Yibamah? So there is a Sugya in Masechet Yibamah, in the first paragraph. It's a little bit of a complicated Sugya. We'll try to just highlight the points that are relevant for us. We need just a little bit of a background before we get to the Rishonim on the Sugya. We need the Sugya itself. I don't know, I'm not sure why the Sugya didn't appear in the Maamar Kamos. Must have been my bad. But we should have really had the Gemara in Yevamos itself on the Maamar Kamos. But I'll just try to fill you in on the details of it. The Gemara discusses, leaving out Ligibum to the realm of Chalitza. So let's say, woman falls, Rachel falls for Yibum, husband Reuben dies without the children. She falls for Yibum Chalitza to Shimon. And Shimon says, listen, no, I don't really want to marry you. She says, fine, no problem. We'll do chalitza. And they go ahead and they do chalitza. Then, 6 months later, Shimon and Rachel get back together and say, we really had an opportunity. We could have gotten married 6 months ago. And now, we blew it. We did chalitza. Okay, what was. Let's get back together. Let's go ahead and get married right now. What's the din? Can they get married post-chalitza? So Gemara says, no. Gemara quotes a pasuk. Kevan shlovada shuv lo yivne. The pasuk says, Yivnez written Balashat Asin in the future, that comes to teach us, once you decided to do Chalitza, then it's over, you can no longer get married again. What if they go ahead and they don't listen to us, and they get married again? So how bad of an Aver was it? It's an Aver, not so bad. It's a lav in the Torah. But the most show you get Malchus, it's a lav in the Torah, finish. Ashelo Yivnez Beis Achiv. What is it not? It's not an Isser Kares, it's not, that's for sure. For sure it's not Kares. The Gemara says the worst that it is a lav, because Harai, the Torah calls it a lav. The Torah doesn't say it's Isha Zachim. The Torah says it's only a lav of Kacha Yasel Isha Shali Yivnes Bezach. And then, that's the background that everybody agrees to. Then the Gemara has another Shaila. The Gemara says, what if there were multiple brothers and or multiple wives? I mean, if we had a chart here, we would have it drawn out. Reuven, who died, had a couple of brothers. He had Shimon, Levi, Yehud, etc. And Reuven, who died, had a couple of wives as well. So how many chalitzas have to be done in order for this parasha to end? One chalitza. As long as one brother does one chalitza to one of the wives, all the wives go free. That's Meferish, Mishnayis, Pesukim, Chumash, Hashal Yiras, Beisachid, Beis Echad, Lo B'Shnei Bat, Meferish, that it's one chalitza, knocks it off for everybody. So now the Gemara raises the following question. Reuven died, and he left multiple brothers, and he left multiple wives. One was the choletz, one was the chalutza. Everybody else got a freebie. Nobody else showed up to the basin. Nobody else got chalitza. Nobody else gave chalitza and shun. What if one of those other brothers decides he wants to marry one of those other wives? Or what if the choletz decides he wants to marry another wife? Or one of the chalutza decides she wants to marry another brother? In other words, we want to get somebody from this big happy family, wants to get back together again and get married. But it wasn't the choletz or the chalutza proper. It was one of the other brothers and one of the other wives. That's the shaila that Gemara presents in Yevamos Daf Yud. That was the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Just how bad is that? So Rabbi Yochanan says, it's bad, but not so bad. Rabbi Yochanan says, you know what it is? It's a kevan shlobana shuv lo yivne. So just as we said, with Shimon and Rachel, the choletz and the chalutza can't get married, and if they do, there's a lav, but no more than a lav. There's no kares. So too, if Yehuda wants to marry, wants to marry Zilpah, and Levi wants to marry Leah, it doesn't matter who's marrying who, any subsequent marriage from this house that at one time experienced chalitza, any members of the man or woman who experienced chalitza, now affects all the parties involved. There's a lav in the Torah. Says Rabbi Yochanan, what is there not? What there is not is an Isser Eishes Achiv. There's no Isser Karis.
But before Chalitza, they could say, they'll go to Reuben and...
Well, only one man and one woman from the whole parsha could do it. More than that can't. So any one of the men can marry any one of the women. That could be Yibum, or that could be Chalitza.
The two brothers can't take two of the wives.
Right. The one who does it second is over in Isser. Right. So Biochin says, no, it's not Mutter. There's not Isser Karis. And Rish Lakish says, no. Rish Lakish says, anyone else, except for the Choletz and the Chalutza, who goes out and tries to marry anybody else from this whole parsha, whole complicated family tree, will be in violation of an Issa Kares. What's the Issa Kares? The Issa of Eishes Achiv. So the Choletz, Rabbi Yechim, and Shlokish, everybody agrees it's Osir. The question is, how Osir is it? So for the Choletz and the Chalutza themselves, everyone agrees it's a lav without Kares. Vis-a-vis the other mixes and matches, Rabbi Yechim says, it's also not Karis. Rabbi Shlokish says it is Karis. So the question is, what exactly is the issue? What exactly did Rabbi Yochanan think? What did Rabbi Shlokish think? What are they arguing about? So comes the Tosfos in the seventh of the Maamar Kamos, in Yevamah Bistav Yud, and begins to explain to us what's going on through the eyes of Shlokish. Yehud dekoy below Yivna. This is a quote out of Rish Lakish that the Choletz himself is only over the Yisr of Lo Yivna, only the Lav. Elo ha'avaksiv Lo Yivna. Says Tosfos, what would the din have been if not for the pasuk Kevin Shlobana Shuv Lo Yivna? What would I have said the din is if Chalitza was done? Can they subsequently get married? So comes Tosfos and says, Elo ha'avaksiv Lo Yivna, havamina, the afilu huel ha'chalitza bekares. I would have thought that if the Choletz decides 6 months later to marry the Chalutza, that's an Issacharis. Why? There's no mitzvah Yibum. The starting point is, the baseline is, she's Eishes Achiv. The only thing that's a matter Eishes Achiv is the Yibum, but there's no Yibum anymore. Once you do Chalitza, so there's no mitzvah to do Yibum anymore, so then the Isser of Chalutza, I'm sorry, the Isser of Eishes Achiv remains in full force. So I would have thought that there's an Issacharis for everybody. V'hashta Eisa lo Yivna, l'naska mikaris l'lav. Comes Lo Yivna, that pasuk Lo Yivna is not an osir, that Lo Yivna is a matir. That Lo Yivna mitigates the Issa, that lowers the Issa to a mere lav. But this is the way Shlokh is speaking. Aval achin vitzora kidekaime kaime. But the other brothers, or the other wives, the Torah is the other wives, who did not do an act of chalitza, so they didn't do Lo Yivna, Lo koi Lo Yivna layim. So since they didn't do Lo Yivna, Mela, they're left with the original Issachares. So Koita tells us the starting point of the sug is that unless there's an absolute mitzvah yibum taking place in front of our eyes, Kares is the result. Kares is the consequence. The only way you can drain out of Kares, you have to find the posse, you have to find a mocha to be mata the Issachares. What's the mata the Issachares? Kevin Shlobana Shivlo Yivna. So Shlokish had a very, very limited way of looking at that pasuk. Shlokish says that pasuk only refers to the Choletz and the Chalutza. Therefore, all other brothers, all other wives, are and still included in the original Issar of the Issachares. So what did Rabbi Yochanan say? So if we would have had the Gemara, we would have seen that Rabbi Yochanan explains that Lo Yivne applies to all the brothers and to all the wives. Why is that? Because Rabbi Yochanan had an interesting way of understanding what Chalitza is. Chalitza is a very strange thing. One brother does chalitza on behalf of the other 20 brothers. One wife does chalitza on behalf of the other 20 wives. How does that happen? So Rabbi Yochanan quotes a word, uses a word that probably doesn't mean it literally, but for our purposes, the Gemara uses it, shlichus. It's almost like the one brother is acting as an agent on behalf of all the other brothers, and one wife is acting as an agent on behalf of all the other wives. So says Rabbi Yochanan, each brother did do chalitza, not literally with his foot, but in theory. Each woman did do chalitza, not literally with her hands, but in theory, based on the principle of quote-unquote shlichus. Therefore, each brother and each wife is entitled to the matir, to the mitigating pasuk of kevin shlobana shlo yivna. Therefore, everybody goes down to an issa lav, and the issa kares, in effect, doesn't apply. That's how Tosfos sizes up the sugya. So it comes out according to Tosfos that the machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish is everybody agrees that the starting point is there should be an Issacharis. That's not a shal. For sure there should be an Issacharis. Why an Issacharis? Because she's Eishes Achiv. The question becomes, has anything transpired to minimize that isakaris? Has anything been mafkir that isakaris? So the only thing possible to mafkir that isakaris is the pasuk of kevish lo banish uvla yivna. So Reish Lakish took the pasuk literally, if you did cholit, if you were a cholit, you were a cholitza, then you're entitled to that mafkir of the isar. If you didn't, then the isar is b'mekava amid. And Rabbi Yochanan said, everybody did chalitza in a figurative halachic sense, and therefore everyone's entitled to that pasuk. But what's the underlying principle according to Tosus? The starting point is that everything is kares and to prove it otherwise. Namely, you there's just because the husband dies, that's not a mafkiya di isa kares. The only mafkiya di isa kares is either the mitzvah yibum or a maisa chalitza. Unless one of those two things happen, the isa kares is still b'mkemei. That's how Tosus sized up the sugya. Comes the Rashba in the eighth of the Mamre Kamas. And the Rashba tells us, "The time of the milsa, mishum the cave and the bishas nefila hutrelo shuvi yevshali asma b'shemeshesach." Says the Rashba, he's talking about a little bit of a different sugya, but he says that once the husband dies, the isereshesach is gone and it's not coming back again. Uche de kaimla, and I'll prove to you, says the Rashba, that the isereshesach disappears at the time of misas ha'baal. That at the moment of truth, which the Rashba's learning, the moment of truth is the death of the husband. Once the husband dies, the Isserei Shesach is gone. It's finished. It's history. Whatever happens afterwards, we'll discuss later, but that Isserei Shesach is over. So therefore, the Rashba says that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said, what he said. Why is it that if one of the 15th brother goes ahead and marries the 12th wife, why is that not a problem? That doesn't bother us. So says the Rashba, because the Isserei Shesach is long gone. It went up in smoke from the minute that the husband died. So what is the Rashba not saying? Not at all like Tosfos. Tosfos said, the Isserei Shesach is b'mkom ha'omed. The only thing that's mata the Isserei Shesach is the chalitza. That's the mafkia, the Isserei Shesach is the Isser of Kevish Lavona. That's the mitigating factor. And Rabbi Yochanan only held that that mitigating factor applies to all the brothers based on the principle of shlichus. The Rashba says, lo yudvar me'aylam. According to the Rashba, there was no shlichus. This is not shlichus. This is not Truman and Korban Pesach. There's no shlichus going on here. Says the reason why the Isser is gone, says the Rashba, is because the Isser of Eish Hazach disappears at the moment of the Misa.
What does he do with the Kevushalim? It's more just an Isser that you can't marry. Just tell you this is not a Matir?
Right, absolutely. Right. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, according to the Rashba, it's the opposite of Tosfos. The starting point is that it's Taka Mutter. Without the Pasuk Kevushalim, it would have been Mutlach and Chila to marry her post-Chalitza, because the Isser of Eish Hazach is gone. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the Isser of Kevushalim is an Oseh, not a Matir. So you have two totally different approaches to this sugya in Yevamah Stavyod between Tosfos and the Rashba, but each one is coming from a different vantage point. Tosfos' starting point is that the Isser is b'mkama omen until we find the reason to be matter. So according to Tosfos, everything's also to prove in mutter. The Isser Eshazach is also to prove in mutter. According to the Rashba, the Isser Eshazach is gone from the moment of the death of the husband. We can now begin to discuss, is there a new Isser that's coming on? But the Rashba, L'chora, only said his pshat according to Rabbi Yochanan. It only fits according to Rabbi Yochanan. What about according to Reish Lakish? So according to Reish Lakish, who said that, in fact, all the brothers and all the other wives, there is an Issachar race. So what would Reish Lakish do with this shtickletar of the Rashba? So one of two possibilities. Either that's exactly the Kudus of Achleks Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, that Reish Lakish says, no, your lumdus is wrong. I hold like the other side. I hold that the Isser, Eish Hazach, is not puck until either the mitzvah or the matir. So it would come out that this question, whether Kevish Laban is a matir and also is a machlekes of a roim, or maybe one could say something very, very fancy according to Reish Lakish. Maybe one could say, and there's a Rishalmi that seems to say the following. When we say that the death of the husband is the matir, those Rishalmi say the death is the matir. What does it mean the death is the matir? What we really mean to say is the zika is the matir. That's what it really means. It means the new relationship between Yavma Yavama that the Torah just created at the time of the death of the husband, that zika, in a sense, overrides the Isserei Shezachiv. So the Rishalmi has a comment that when Reuven dies, and now his 10 wives fall for zika to the 10 brothers. So there are multiple zikas flying around here. Says Yerushalmi, there are multiple zikas flying around here. That's until one brother and one wife decide who's taking the bull by the horns. Once one of the brothers and one of the wives go ahead and do something, whether that something is Yibum Chalitza, once they decide we're going to be the ones to step up to the plate, it turns out Igloy Milsalem Afreya, retroactively, that there was never any Zika between all the other brothers and all the other wives. So it turns out we can't undo the death of the husband. The husband died, L'chaladeus. But the Zika may have just been uprooted retroactively. So if the Zika was uprooted retroactively, according to Rish Lakish, it turns out that then there was no such relationship. We go back in time and we realize that, well, if Ruve did Chalitza, Shimon did Chalitza with Rachel, so then Leah and Bilhah, etc., were out of the picture. Yehuda and God and Don no longer existed. So vis-a-vis them, there never really was a Zika from day one. If there was no Zika from day one, then there was no Matev Eshesach. Look out for everybody else. And that's what Rish Lakish held. So it's not clear what Nekuda did Rish Lakish disagree with Rabbi Yochanan on, according to the Rashba. Did Rish Lakish disagree and say that's the mitzvah, that's the matir? Or did Rish Lakish agree that Zika is the matir, but he had a very fancy way of understanding a retroactive revoking of Zika that Rabbi Yochanan didn't buy into?
So according to the second Shabbat, with Rish Lakish, why do you have to go so far? I mean, if you Shabbat says now, if you're not familiar with it, that it removes Zika from my friend. Why couldn't you just say that the Zika is there as a, for lack of a better term, of like a blocker? It's there. And then when someone does it, so then the Zikas are removed. But my nafka mina, if there was a relationship not for the purpose of Yibum, between the time of the death and the time of the Yibum, why would you necessarily retroactively get Karis? Then it could have just been allowed.
But then the problem is if that the Zika is just a blocker. When Shimon does Chalitza with Leah, so the Zika is also, the Zika is gone if the Chalitza also, so then it should become an Issacharis. So how come it doesn't revert to an Issacharis, like the Chalitza and the Chalitza, even Rish Lakish agrees to that.
Why does it become Karis? Right.
And you can't say it's a Matir, because the Rashba holds Kemish Laban is not a Matir. It's an Oser. So you have to explain away why Kemish Laban only applies to one set of people and not to the other set of people.
You have to
go back to the Yerushalmi. Anyway, so this machloek is this lomdish shal we've been having, which ultimately goes back to Ash Sugi Vivam and Nikis Mekesef, now seems to be not just the machloek is Rashi and Taisus, but seems to be going back even further, seems to be a machloek is between Taisus and the Rash, but everyone's getting involved in this. Hopefully, some tomorrow we'll see where this fundamental question, what is the matir of the Yisra Eshazach, may go back even further than we think. It may go back not just to the Acharonim, not just to the Rishon, may actually be a machloek is at Tanoim. Hopefully, some tomorrow we'll continue this thing.